Hello, my name is Robbie. At Shaw, the Relax AM Space AL DUPI, dictating for Dr. Anna Sabiel. Date of dictation 24 January 2013. Patient name Wilbert Jennings, WILBURT space GENNINGS. Date of birth 7/19/1951. Primary care physician Leonix Bite LENNOXPIKE for the address 4201 Saint Antoine Boulevard, Detroit, Michigan. Phone number 313-745-4091. Fax number 313-966-0993. Next paragraph, cardiology clinic notes. Next paragraph, reason for visit, follow-up. Next paragraph, dear colleague, we had the pleasure of seeing Mr. Jennings, who is a very pleasant 61-year-old gentleman with past medical history significant for congestive heart failure, ischemic cardiomyopathy, with an ischemic ICD placement in 2007, coronary artery disease, status post-CABG with Lima to lab, SVG2OM2, SVG2RCA, and multiple left heart catheterization, with the last one being done on October 30, 2010, which showed his SVG2OM2 was buttoned. SVG2RCA had 60 percent stenosis, and Lima to lad was occluded proximally. He also had a past medical history of hypertension and peripheral artery disease. He came to our clinic today for follow-up. On today's visit, he is complaining of the same chest pain that was previously having. He states that the chest pain has been occurring since 2006. This is a bridger-like retrosternal radiating to the shoulder and back. It's exaggerated by exercise and 8 out of 10 in severity. He has also been complaining of shortness of breath. He states that he can barely walk half block to one block without feeling any shortness of breath. He has also been experiencing lower limb pain in walking. He states that he can walk up to 3 blocks without having a lower limb pain. However, he denies any complaints of lower limb swelling, syncope, presyncope, and states that otherwise he is doing fine at the moment. On his previous visit, his blood pressure was elevated. It was 169/98. So we have increased his hydralazine dose to 100 mg, and now it's a little bit very controlled. He came today to clinic to have his blood pressure speed checkup. Next paragraph, past medical history, congestive heart failure, coronary artery disease, hypertension, peripheral artery disease. Next paragraph, past surgical history, CABG and AICD, placement in 2007, social history, non-contributory, family history, significant for coronary artery disease, hypertension, and diabetes. Next paragraph, allergies, not known drug allergies. Next paragraph, current medications, potassium 20 mg daily, aspirin 81 mg daily, spironolactone 25 mg daily, furosemide 80 mg TID, tenofovir 40 mg AM and 20 mg BM, ranitidine 150 mg twice a day, plavix 75 mg daily, carvedilol 25 mg BID, hydrocodone 7.5 mg every 6 hours BRN, Colac 100 mg twice a day as needed, Simvastatin 40 mg daily, Amulidin 10 mg daily, Endor 60 mg one tablet, BO, BID, Hydralazine 100 mg 4 times a day, Ranixa 1000 mg TID, Advair Symbicort, Digoxin 0.25 mg twice a day, Vicodin extra strength 1 tablet, BO, QD. Next paragraph, physical examination, vital signs. On today's visit, the blood pressure was 150/82 and above 67, the weight 205 and the height 5'9". Please writing down the template of the normal CVS exam. Next paragraph, diagnostic investigations. EKG done on 16 January 2013, and the heart rate was 61 with normal rhythm and rate. No significant change since the last ECG. Two-dimensional echocardiogram done on August 23, 2012 shows borderline dilated left ventricle with a mild left ventricular hypertrophy and mild to moderate systolic dysfunction. The visual estimated left ventricular ejection fraction was 20 to 25% with airbag thinned out and akinetic. Apical segment is severely akinetic, finding consistent with prior infarct scarring in the region through the normalization of the mitral inflow consistent with moderate left ventricular diastolic dysfunction. Nuclear stress test done on March 6, 2011 shows a normal myocardial perfusion, ejection fraction 31 and dilated left ventricle. Left heart catheterization, left heart cath done on October 2010 shows a battened two-thirds graft with severe native LAD and RCA disease, severe ischemic cardiomyopathy, lima to lad proximal occluded, patent SVG2OM2SVG2RV branch is patent and feels retrograde to the distal RV RCA. There is a 60% stenosis immediately proximal to the touchdown of the graft and lad has proximal 100% C2O with a right to left collateral with patent stent in the left circumflex artery. OM1 has distal occluded, OM2 has ostial occlusion, severe global hypokinesia of the left ventricle, ejection fraction is 10% with the LVEDB of 20 mmHg. Carotid duplex study completed on June 7, 2010. There is a mild bilateral black formation, however no hemodynamically significant stenosis. The vertebral artery has anterograde flow bilaterally. Venous dyssymography done on July 13, 2012 showing a filling time on the right of 14.3 seconds and on the left 14 seconds, which is abnormal. Chest X-ray done on October 22, 2012 and the impression was stable moderate cardiomegaly with central pulmonary vascular congestion, small left pleural effusion, subsegmental atelectatic change of the left lung base superimposed with the left basilar pulmonary scarring. Transthoracic echo done on 10/23/2012 and the conclusion was ischemic cardiomyopathy will moderately decrease left ventricular systolic function, severe diastolic dysfunction. CT scan of the head done on April 9, 2010 showed no acute intracranial hemorrhage and periventricular white matter hypoattenuation is likely related to mitral or valvular ischemia. Bilateral renal artery doubler done on November 29, 2012 showing normal abdominal aortic size and velocity and normal kidney size bilaterally. No evidence of hemodynamically significant renal artery stenosis bilaterally. Renal ultrasound done on November 29, 2012. The conclusion was no evidence of the hydronephrosis. And the finding, the right and left lung renal axis are approximately 11.2 and 12.4 cm respectively. There is no hydronephrosis or defined calculus. There may be a very limited bilateral focal cortical renal scarring and slight increased renal echogenicity with rising possibility of the early non-specific medical renal disease. A small cyst is noted in the left superior renal bone. Left anticubital subclavian axillary vein venogram done on August 10, 2008 with the finding of the anticubital vein encouraged with diminished flow. Axillary vein is enlarged, subclavian vein at the point of lead anteriorly is enlarged and proximal to the point has less contrast. Also noted collaterals going from the anticubital and branchial vein to the left jugular vein into the right jugular vein. Conclusion, mild to moderate obstruction at the level of the left subclavian vein, possibly due to leads from ICD and plus minus fibrosis at this level. Assessment and plan. Number one, coronary artery disease. He is known to have coronary artery disease and CABG with lima to lad versus proximal occlusion, SVG2OM2 which has patent and SVG2RCA which has 60% stenosis. he's currently complaining of chest pain that he was previously having, and he is currently on M-Dol, Ranixia, maximum dose, beta blocker, carvedilol, 25 mg TID. His most recent stress test was done on March 6, 2011, which showed a normal myocardial perfusion. We have informed him that we are going to consult Dr. in Cleveland Clinic with regards to his next step in management. For the meanwhile, he is to continue the same current medical regimen that he is on, and we are going to contact him to inform him about the recommended next plan of management. Number two, congestive heart failure. He is known to have congestive heart failure with ischemic cardiomyopathy with an ejection fraction of 20 to 25 mg/cm. We have informed him that we are going to consult doctor for a correction. He is currently on the ACE inhibitor, beta blocker, calcium channel blocker, statin, spironolactone, and Lasix. He was on maximum dose of Lasix. We recommend that he continue the same kind of medication regimen that he is on, and that he got his device checked soon. Since he is on very high dose of Lasix, we are also going to check his kidney function to assure that it hasn't been damaged due to high intake of Lasix. Number three, hypertension. He is known case of hypertension. On today's visit, the blood pressure was 150/82, which is improving in comparison to the previous time, which was 169/98. We have increased his dose of the hydralazine to 100 mg 4 times daily on his previous visit, and however, his blood pressure is still uncontrolled. He is on maximum dose of potassium channel blocker hydralazine for the mild lisinopril. However, due to his pulse rate of being 68, we cannot increase his beta blocker of carvedilol 0.5 mg BID. We want to add another diuretic medication. However, we recommend that he first get renal function test to evaluate his renal function before we are going to add another diuretic medication. For the meanwhile, he is to continue the same kind of medical regimen that he is on. We are going to follow up him on the next visit for re-evaluation. Number four, peripheral artery disease. The patient started that was previously supposed to have peripheral angiography for diagnosis of the peripheral artery disease and intervention if necessary. However, the procedure was tried and was unsuccessful. As of currently, he is still complaining of the same constrained bilateral lower limb pain. We will recommend that he continue the same current medical management that he is on, and that he continue with exercise program that he is on. We are going to treat him conservatively. We have also informed him that if he does develop any more severe symptoms, he is to contact us directly or go to the nearest emergency department. Number five, AICD. The patient is known to have pacemaker, which was placed in 2007, and it was last checked according to the patient a few months ago. We advise him to have it checked again soon. Number six, renal function test. His most recent lab value were done on August 27, 2012, which shows a creatinine level of 1.2 BUN24, sodium level 141, potassium 3.6, chloride 101, carbon dioxide is 32, anion gap of 8, glucose 98. However, we recommend that he get another renal function test as he is on high dose of Lasix, and we may add another diuretic to his medication for better control of his blood pressure. In this paragraph, thank you for allowing us to participate in the care of Mr. Jenniger. Our phone number has been provided for him to call with any question or concern. We will see Mr. Jennings back in 2 months. In the meanwhile, he is instructed to continue following with his primary care physician for continuity of care. Sincerely, Hassan Zabi, medical student, dictating for Dr. Anas Obeid. This is the end of the dictation.